Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative.
All right, Southern California, I made it. And welcome to the midweek edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. A very interesting topic today. Today's topic is called Reincarnation Without Death, or how to actually go into another life experience without leaving your body. So I think today's topic is very important, especially for those of you who are able to cast a chart for a new life experience, or what we would call reincarnation, without leaving the body, but actually altering your entire life experience. So a very interesting topic for you. Well, this is a different kind of topic. Actually, reincarnation without death is interesting because a lot of people are so multifaceted. They're so diverse. They're so evolved metaphysically that they realize what is going on with their soul. And they realize that they can either come to a fork in the road of life where they possibly would have a death confrontation, like a serious illness or a serious surgical problem or an accident, where suddenly they are confronted with dying or living. You know, the soul actually makes the choice. The higher mind, I believe, makes the choice whether to stay on and actually alter the life drastically, so to speak, creating or manifesting a reincarnation without dying. But a lot of people will say that the feeling you go through during this particular trauma is like unto death, of course. And then, of course, some people who are not aware of what's going on will just end it, and they will die, and then they'll have to go through the whole reincarnation process again, which I really don't enjoy, growing up again, going through nursery school, elementary school, family politics and such, but some people like that. But I prefer to just reincarnate in this particular lifetime. And then people say, well, Farley, what are you talking about? Reincarnation actually means like death and rebirth. So what are you talking about in this instance? Well, what happens in life is that people get finished with a current karmic path. In other words, they live their lives and they absolve their karma to their highest good for their current state. And all the friends and all the relatives that they know and love and all the people they've worked with, it seems like the karma, like unto themselves, at the center of themselves, is absolved with everyone in the current life state. So then that's when you get drastic decisions that are made after this possible life-death choice. And we do find, especially when people do have severe illnesses like cancer or heart disease or a bleeding ulcer or, God forbid, AIDS or any kind of disease especially, where there is a miraculous godlike recovery, that also some people hypothesize that there would be a walk-in effect, or part of one soul would leave the body and another soul would take over. But in any effect, no matter what it is, what literally happens is the life does change drastically from 1 minute to the next. Interesting point, if I could record the date where I had my life reincarnation without dying, which happened in 1976 in Hong Kong, like a dummy, I didn't know enough to write down the date, the time in Hong Kong as my rebirth, reincarnation without death, because actually I was confronted at that point to either die or rebirth in my current body, which is what I chose. But like a dummy, I didn't write that down, because see, the natal chart, of course, is the effect from the birth of the baby. But if you have one of these life rebirths, if you have one of these reincarnations without death, and you know it, and I'll tell you, I'll give you some of the ways you can tell you've had one of these, and you can be smart enough to write down your date, time, and city of birth, you can cast a supplement chart called Second Life, or Second Birth of this life. Original natal chart remains good and remains significant, of course, because that is the original charge on the body. But when you know you are having one of these rebirths where your life does take a drastic change to a complete new experience, at that point, then you can definitely actually note that there is a definite vibrational shift in your aura of understanding the way life works. Now, I'll give you an example. You find these people, even people in your own family, where suddenly they pick up and they move out of state or out of the country, and you either never see them again, or the contact you have with them is very brief. It's nothing like it was. And you also find that some people will lose contact with their friends. Some people almost become missing. Some people have been known to totally even change their identities, get lost in the world. If you've ever known anyone to pick up all of a sudden and decide to live in Madagascar for the rest of their lives after being a citizen from Kansas. Or you'll notice somebody might pick up and decide to go to Africa for 20 years and totally do something different. Actually, the planet Earth is funny because the planet Earth, just like the celestial ether that is abundant in the entire universe, is a plane that offers multi-dimensions of sensitive experience, which means if a person you know and love, like a best friend or a brother or sister, or even your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, decides to pick up and move, even to, say, San Luis Obispo or Portland from here, well, frankly, the relationship you have with that person and the relationship they have with everyone they knew and loved in L.A. is going to be altered and going to be different. So I think one of the main options, one of the main situations here for rebirth, recognizable rebirth, is either a total letting go of everything you know and everything you love and everyone you've had contact with, and a total reshaping of new interests, new influences, new routines, new schedules, different careers. And obviously, when you make a move as far as changing residences, some people, believe it or not, can even move across town or even move down the street, change their phone number, change their address, and totally lose contact with one entire group of friends and reestablish contact with a whole new environment of new karmic experiences. A lot of you, of course, that are turning 39, 40, 41, 42, 43 and 44, going through the midlife crisis astrological transit, which a lot of people like to call the midlife celebration, but ha, actually what it is, it can be fun if you are ready for new beginnings. But if you're not, if you're one of those people like me who has Venus in Cancer and finds it difficult to throw anything or anyone away in your life, difficult to let go of the past when you have Cancer planets, then you might find this transit to be a little difficult. But the truth is that by the time you do turn 39, the planet Uranus has moved through six signs in the sky to become opposite itself in your chart. And because Uranus is a planet that controls directions and goals and friends and life's destiny, we do find a lot of people having this midlife reincarnation without death, where you do change everything in your life. And I'm starting to find that I'm organizing myself. I got rid of my gray cheek parakeet, which is like my little daughter today. My pal Rose took her. And got 12 birds, now I got 11. You know, that's a change. I'm considering all kinds of wild options in my future here, involving things that I never, ever thought I'd be interested in, like real estate. You know, this is something that I noticed Bernice is on the phone, speaking of real estate. But things like that. Also, looking at totally new avenues for my own creative process. It's like when you live your life in this body, in this temple of your soul, and you've done everything you can as far as having a good time, what happens is sometimes you reach the end of the line with a certain part in your life where suddenly it's not as much fun anymore. Whether it's with a whole area of friends, a career, whether it's with your family that you're living with and you decide you just want to move away from your family for 10,000 miles away from your family, right? And obviously when you make a move like this, it's like saying, it's like dying. You know, obviously you're not planning on visiting them much or vice versa, because when you move that far away from your family, it's quite an expensive visit. So I really do believe that what I've discovered and this basic truth I want to share with you as part of the power of this topic is that when you do fulfill your North Node, a lot of times I used to think that a person would die fulfilling the North Node. Now, taking a further look at my chart and recognizing that Jupiter is now sitting on my North Node today and this week, I've also become aware that I have fulfilled my North Node and I'm not planning on dying, nor do I have any of the symptoms of death. So I do notice that I am going through this charge of this reincarnation without dying, which is a total change, a drastic change in many areas of my life. And because I am turning 40, I also recognize I'm in the middle of this midlife crisis transition, which, being my own guinea pig and using astrology as the lab, I learn a heck of a lot of things by following my own life, checking my own choices and my own vibes, and then when I prove things out, sharing that with you, the listening audience. So, you know, I've come to this conclusion that there is now the ability to even totally change your appearance, right? If you ever look at pictures of yourself, and one time, you know, if somebody looks at a picture of you and says, is that you? Like, what the heck? You know, like, you were like 60 pounds heavier in that picture. Or you were like 70 pounds lighter in that picture. Or your hair is black, now it's red. You know, your hair is green, or now it's blue. And your face was all broken out in this picture, and now it's smooth. Even your face has changed. People go through this metamorphosis where they can manifest a vibration that totally affects your body. You can actually change your body shape, your body size, your overall health. And people ask me, well, why is that, Farley? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if you could possibly zero in on the point where you made that choice to make that drastic life change, to let go of a major block of everything in your life that, karmically speaking, has affected you up till now, where you have totally decided to take on a whole new color. I always think of the movie Tempest, John Cassavetes. If you haven't seen it, go out and rent it. It's one of the best movies I have ever seen to actually reveal for you this reincarnation without death. Here's a guy who is a middle upper class man, married with children, in a wonderful career, and he turned into the 40s, and he totally split. He bought a Greek island out somewhere. He got a young girl out there with some kid and a couple of native residents, and he decided to live on an island for the rest of his life. Now, if that's not like dying and being reborn, and the funny part about the whole movie is that John Cassavetes is like a wizard anyway. He's also like a wizard. He has powers. So I think he becomes well aware of his power of God, and he actually manifests this transformation. A lot of wild things happen to him. A lot of people from his past try to come back into his present, and freaky things happen, but he just doesn't react to them like he used to. So, you know, I think this topic is important because, you know, a lot of times I will have said that if you do fulfill your North Node, then that means your life mission is over. But it doesn't necessarily mean that anymore. In my opinion, see, here's the further truth I have discovered, that once you do fulfill your North Node and you do exactly what you're supposed to, then you might reach a point in your life where you will have a rebirth, which is like a reincarnation without death, because then your life from that point seems like a new life. If you can ever refer to a certain time in your life when things were never the same again. You were much better. You were much different. You were much happier. And everybody was new. There were all kinds of new beginnings and endings all over the place. Gosh, if you could just put your date, time, and city of transformation down, you'd have a supplement natal chart that you could relate to that we would call your rebirth chart or your reincarnation chart without death. You can accomplish a lot in one life cycle just by being aware of your higher self and your higher mind and being aware of knowing what your next step is when you do reach a step of high evolution. When you have absolved a major block of karma and the choice of life or death is upon you, a lot of times you can make that choice, hey, instead of dying, I'm just going to keep this body and do the next thing I'm supposed to do that I know I'm supposed to do, which may be going into chartering boats or raising horses or breeding birds or moving to South Africa or, oh, God forbid, maybe moving to Canada or Australia or something. Hope that helps somebody. All right. Yeah. KFOX Radio, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, your weekdays at 12 noon for your enjoyment going on 5 years. We'll be here to help you understand your lives. We're going to go to the phones in a second now. Let me just wrap this topic here on reincarnation without death. And frankly, I think, in my opinion, when I look at the pictures of myself particularly, I guess I could probably pinpoint at least 5 times when I might have absolved major blocks of karma. I went through a whole big thing. You know, like you can look at your life and see your blocks of karma if you want. Like all the people I went to elementary school and junior high school and high school with, they're all gone now. That was like a separate lifetime. Then all the people I went to college with in Missouri and so many, there may be 1 or 2 people out of all the hundreds I met then. Most of them are now gone. And, you know, it's funny how you will carry over 1 or 2 acquaintances for maybe a huge block of karma that you will have experienced. And then I went ahead and when I was in Los Angeles, I worked for my dad for 10 years. And all the people that I had karma with myself concerning them for that 10-year period, they're all gone. And there's only my acquaintance with my dad and remains. And all my relationships I had with all those business people and clients have all passed in. And these are people that I talk to every day and I was pals with, and that's gone. You take a look at your life and you see, you know, I went to an academy, an astrology academy, and there was hundreds of people that went through that academy. And now there's only Roger left, and of all those people I knew and loved, only one person remains. And sometimes you will pull 1 or 2 people with you out of every life block that you go through. I call them a life block. But, you know, literally each time I could have literally died physically after absolving major blocks of karma, which is what I recognized doing in those big blocks. And yet, what I did instead was I chose to rebirth. Like, sometimes in my life, I did things I never thought I would do. I had a BB gun incident when I was a child. I caught a ricochet in my eye, and I wasn't able to do all the physical education classes in high school because of that sight problem I had. I couldn't see the ball as well, and I got a permission slip. And then, all of a sudden, later in life, it improved. And when I turned like 24, 25, I became an athletic fanatic, jogging 5 miles a day, coaching little kids in football. So, you know, that didn't make any sense. I went from a guy who never worked out and never got involved in sports to a fanatic in sports and exercise. So, seemed like 2 different people to me. And there was a person that never, ever was interested in computers. In fact, even hated them, was frightened of them, ran from them. Now I got seven of them. Now that's not the type of person I was. I changed there. I was afraid of horses, got into riding horses. I was afraid, scared to death of swimming, maybe drowned in a past life or something. And then almost got on the water polo team in high school after a while. Became an excellent swimmer. Didn't know a thing about boating, was frightened to death of it. Maybe was in a boating war, a naval battle of some kind, and died in it. And now I'm a boatsman now. I'm a captain of a ship. And, you know, you take a look at things in your life, things that you thought were not possible at one time, and then you turn around and see that not only are they possible, that they're a major part of your life. And you realize that, hey, you might have gone through this change, this chemistry change, where you actually did manifest a reincarnation or a totally new life experience, something you never was aware was possible. Major comparison, of course, would be the hippie or the drug addict or the alcoholic that goes through years of snorting cocaine, smoking pot, drinking beer and wine or whiskey, and then all of a sudden, overnight, 10 years of sobriety. What happened to that? What happened? That lifestyle's gone. And sometimes it's serve or suffer along those lines. You will die if you continue that negative lifestyle for sure. So, you know, I think that the vital part of the show is, number one, to let you know this sort of thing happens, that you don't have to die, that you can manifest new life experiences without going through the physical death just by realizing that you need a reincarnation in this life cycle without actually dying. Take a look at all your pictures from when you were a child to where you are now. You will see maybe 50 or 100 different people in there. And you will realize the proof of reincarnation right in your own body without even dying. You'll see the changes you go through. It's incredible. The Hare Krishnas have an example in the Bhagavad Gita where it shows all the people that are in one person. It shows a little baby and then a little boy and then a little adolescent and then a teenager and then a man and then an older man and then a middle-aged man and then a bald man, a real old man, then a very old man, then a dead body, a skeleton, right? And you see all this transition in one life. So it's like reincarnation is proved in our own lives, and yet we don't even tend to accept it. We tend to reject it. We don't even look at that. But it is so powerful. And, you know, the most important part of today's topic, I believe, that I think is just darn fun, is that if now that you know this theory that I have, this philosophy I have about reincarnation without death, next time you have one, next time you decide to make a drastic change in your values, in your motives, in your attitudes, in your friends, in your goals, or your residence, write down the date, time, and city of birth of that idea, of that change, of that innovation, and send for an astroscope called, Connie's Rebirth or Judy's Rebirth or Bill's Rebirth or whatever, and take a look at it. And maybe it'll make sense to help you understand why you've changed the way you have. And then you will have understood and embraced the fact that you also have just had a reincarnation without death. Okay? So there's a first-time topic, I believe, on the Astrology Hour, and I know a lot of you love to hear those, and I hope that would be helpful to some of you that are going through your midlife crisis trends like me. I mean, I'm handling it okay. I feel much better now. Okay. Let's go over here to Tony, who's also having a midlife transit. Scorpio, Gemini, rising. Yo, Tony.
Hi, Farley.
How are you?
Well, I'm, other than being a little damp and chilly, I'm doing real good.
You sound like a radio personality, Tony.
Oh, I have been in the past.
All right.
A number of years ago. What I'm looking for is kind of a general scan. A very interesting topic today. I'm really glad that I missed you yesterday and got on today, because I'm kind of going through this.
Yeah.
a lot of career things are in the works, and I'm hoping that they're going to happen real soon. And my wife and I have also set the date to move to Phoenix June 15th.
Can you believe it? It's like we're caterpillars our whole lives, and then something happens when you turn 40. You go through this cocoon state.
Yeah, and you know, I've also pulled out all my Ruth Montgomery books, and I'm rereading about walk-ins.
Yeah, it's real relevant as to what's going on.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, what degree is your Gemini rising?
11 degrees, 59 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, this move is probably past due. It's probably something you'd been considering doing for quite a while.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm not surprised you're doing it now, and it looks very positive for you. In fact, it looks tremendously positive, especially if you're going to do it during the summer, before the summer happens.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you planned?
Yes. We plan on packing up June 15th.
Yeah, you need a lot of space, and you need some centering, you need some spiritual time. I think at this point in life, people realize that the freight train's been going for too long. It's time to put it in the track yard for a while to refurbish it, calm it down, re-oil it. And, you know, we kind of go berserk on approach to 40, and as we turn 40, the astrological transits impel us to do things, to change, calm down, and recharge, to get ready for the next sector of life.
Right.
I think people that don't do that really end up in trouble. They really end up in a lot of physical, mental, emotional, sometimes health red tape. So it's real important to rebirth and transform at this time particularly.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Guy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Lisa now on line 2, a double Leo. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you doing, Farley?
Well, I'm having a good day.
That's good. You were having a real good day yesterday, too. I didn't get on the radio, but...
Hey, Gemini moons, they're fine with by me, you know, no problem. My mom's a Gemini moon.
It seems like there's a lot of transitions going on right now with me, and I was wondering if I could get a general scan with an emphasis on employment.
Mm-hmm. What's your Leo rising? What degree?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
Well, next?
I'm not sure where to look on my chart for that.
Do you have it?
Yeah. I have a 4 and a 6 on top of the rising, if that, or a 4.
4 on top and a 6 below.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 4 degrees Leo rising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your career would be controlled by Taurus, which is your 10th house, and Jupiter just entered your 10th house, and it's squaring your Saturn. So you actually were shown leaving one segment of career and an incredibly powerful new segment with a lot more money and a lot more fun and happiness happening now. And I kind of sense this isn't the first time this has happened either.
And your topic, I was sitting here just saying, all I could say is, wow. If every time that I've moved so many times and all these people leave my life and so forth, and I was wondering, why did I hold on to one person that I'll, you know, one or two people from a certain time in my life? And
well, it's kind of like going on vacation. A lot of people don't like to buy a whole lot of souvenirs. But usually you find one thing that's very special that will remind you of the whole trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with karma and with life experiences, we're the same way. We tend to go through a whole big block of experience and then find one special person to hang on to be a reminder of that special time in our life. And that's why, you know, when I look back at all my experiences, you know, I could look back at Mike Malavan as my childhood karma and Steve Percy and Dave Alexander from college and Rennie Eisenberg also from college, and I can hold on to these people that I can be in contact with the rest of my life as like a flower that was plucked from the garden that was saved in the dictionary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Could I just say one thing?
Yeah.
These charts that you get with your birth date, and if you've had a rebirth, do you think that these charts that we have now are not pertinent to our life we are now?
The natal chart remains powerfully pertinent no matter what, because that's the charge the baby got at birth.
Mm-hmm.
The rebirth chart is a supplement to understand any new influences that might crop up. Like if in your natal chart you would normally see a massive obsession with career, maybe you wouldn't have as many 10th house planets karmically stressed. In the rebirth chart, you might see those 10th house planets, and that's why you would notice all of a sudden a career obsession. That's why you can change or you can alter what's in the natal chart just by manifesting a lifestyle change or a rebirth, a reincarnation without death.
So do you think things look good for me?
Yeah, you know, like, let's say somebody would call me up, and they'd say, Farley, I got a rebirth date for you. I'd go, fine. Okay, instead of looking at your natal birth date, let's look at the rebirth date and look at your life that way. Not many people have that rebirth date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thanks, Farley. You're great.
Thank you. Oh, you're great, too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to another caller. We'll go to Renee on line number 4. And Renee is April 20th, 58, Taurus rising. Hi.
Good afternoon, Farley. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Superior.
All right. You sound like one of my students.
Well, it's number 30 today. I'm just turning 30, and it's been a heck of a last month. It's been real, real painful, and I'm wondering what you can tell me that's in store.
Is the war over, and who won?
I'm going to win. It's not over yet.
The war's not over, and you're still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so you wanted to know a general scan? Is that what it was?
General scan for number 30, 30th year. But I'm a new student to astrology and still don't quite understand how to tell my rising. It's on the number 9, right?
Yeah, where the 9 would be in the clock face, far left side of the wheel on the edge.
9, Pisces, 30.
Very good. All
but
right.
I thought I was
Taurus rising.
Taurus rising, because I thought your moon was your rising.
No, moon is moon, and rising means the sign that is rising where the sun rises.
Okay.
So that's so you're Pisces rising, which makes you one sensitive, vulnerable puppy. A lot of Pisces rising squirm because they're so vulnerable that they tend to hold things in, take things personal, reflect others' emotions, and they're so sensitive, sometimes they need to claim a lot of space.
Mm-hmm, I do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit a job this afternoon and start a new job this evening, so I'm wondering...
Yeah, well, that's a real good idea. You're Your chart is very blessed for new beginnings as far as career. It doesn't really look like you'll ever suffer that much as far as career goes. In fact, you know, it's an area of karma for you, but you still appear to have some kind of wild card that protects you and keeps you working and keeps bringing the money in.
Uh-huh.
But you know, your chart is the chart of a counselor. You're a very intelligent lady. Looks like you're a wonderful teacher for men, particularly men that are in trouble or have problems that may come to you for advice.
Job for tonight.
Yeah, you could have been a therapist or psychologist or astrologer or teacher or counselor with a chart like this, or lawyer, negotiator, judge, public relations, any of that.
But not an artist, huh?
Well, the art is there. You know, the artwork is definitely there because it's a way for you to channel some of these deep emotions. But, you know, you have a major brain. You know, you have a very important computer in your brain here, too, that carries a lot of information. And more than just sharing ideas with people on parchment and such, verbally you are, and maybe in publishing, you were also meant to share a lot of information, too. You have a lot of knowledge. I think you would admit to that, right?
Mm-hmm, but it's not as utilized as needs to be sometimes.
That's right. That's what karma and dharma is all about.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Bernice on line 3. You got any foreclosures for me today?
Oh, I might have a good lead on something or another, but I'm calling to say hello. I haven't talked to you. I haven't had a chance to listen for a long time, and you weren't coming in on my radio, so I thought I'd call and be able to hear the show.
Oh, boo-hoo. I hate not coming in on people's radios.
It's a storm or something.
God, it's something, I'll tell you.
Anyway, your topic was very right on for me today. I'm in the middle of my Uranus opposed Uranus, and I've been going through just last 2 months have been very, very difficult, and I hope I'm on the other side of it, but you say there's more waiting for me.
I don't know. Your relationships right now could be so weird that it could freak out the rest of your life, too.
Well, I hope it doesn't do that.
I don't know. Have you had a disappointment in that area?
Yes, but it seems to be working itself out.
Oh, good, because recently things could have been a lot more fun for you, you know, so that's good. Yeah, I think that your Venus trine Mars can help cancel a lot of things out, and your Sun trine Mars. You have Sun, Venus, and Aquarius trine that Mars, and Jupiter also trine Mars, and Neptune trine all that stuff back. And that's like a wild card, you know? It's like when everyone else is falling apart, you can somehow find a way to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and continue with it all, you know? So, no problem. Are you still in real estate, huh?
Oh, yes. I'm still teaching full-time and selling real estate. And, you know, just neurotic as can be, but having a good time.
If you find any houses in West L.A. that are clean, under $100,000, let me know, okay?
I'll be there buying them before you get there, I'm afraid.
Oh, thanks a lot. You're my friend, not my best, okay? We'll see
you,
hon.
I'll call you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't that great? You talk to a real estate agent. One thing about trying to find a deal is they buy them all up first. Now you know what you're dealing with. Anyway, we love Bernice anyway. Let's go to Jamie now on line 6, Aquarius Libra Rising. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. Thank you for calling.
Okay, well, thank you. I had a question about the topic that you're talking about. I went through a rebirth, I think, in 79, and I became a vegetarian and changed my life, but also I think I went through one when I was younger. My question is, if you're adopted when you're younger, is that part of your destiny, or is it sometimes changes your destiny? Or because my understanding is that we choose the parents and environment best suited for this lifetime, and I've always sort of felt that my destiny was kind of changed, and I was wondering what you might think about that.
Well, you know, the soul is kind of funny. Because the soul is so powerful, the higher self is so powerful, it's like being in a football game and looking down an aisle and seeing all these people that you would pass in case you would walk down that aisle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like on the way to get your hot dog, you might go by 400 or 500 people, and you can sit there before you go and look at them and notice that if you do walk by those people, that you might stop and talk to any one of them. Well, being born is a very similar aspect with the higher self, because it can look down the aisle at parents that might put you up for adoption and future possibilities to parents that would pick you up and adopt you. So I think that the higher self and the soul of the child is well aware before birth that it is going to be put up for adoption and actually who the parents they are destined to end up with due to that adoption. I don't think any of that is an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Andy, I got a bone to pick with you, guy.
That's in the mail.
Andy, I got a bone to pick with you, guy. You said you were going to send me my reading on John Barry, and it's been 2-3 months now.
Yeah, it's in the mail.
It is?
Really, honest and truly.
Is it interesting?
Well, you know what you said to
you
me?
You got a psychic blast today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because I woke up, and I was reading your readings you made. See, people don't know Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, does past life regressions, too.
Oh, you told him, Barley.
Shut up. But anyway, you're good. You're good. And you did one on me. But you promised to send it to me, and you never did, so...
Farley, I've been, the world...
And you were on tape today. I was so disappointed you were on tape today.
Well, so was I, because you know what happened? The mountain caved in, and I couldn't come down on my road.
Mountain caved in.
Yeah.
Listen, Andy, I've had worse things happen to me.
I love it. It's great. I can't fight nature, you know. But listen, it's in the mail. Honest and truly, my wife is sending it to you. Now, what you said to this today, you remember you said something about... First of all, we talked about rebirth.
Yeah.
I give you the exact time when I was... Something happened to me, and it's probably exactly what you were talking about.
Okay.
Because I fell asleep. I used to live in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
And I used to go for walks at night. I used to leave around 2 o'clock in the morning, come back around 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to walk down these empty roads. No cars or nothing in the middle of the field. I fell asleep in the middle of the road, and this truck was about ready to run me over, and I was asleep. And a hand moved me over in a truck, and whoosh.
You fell asleep in the middle of the road.
Right,
did
right
you just
on
get
line.
Did you just get out of a loony bin before you did
right,
this?
I fell asleep right in the middle of the road, and I felt this hand move me over and lifted me up and took me out of the way of the truck, and the truck went whoosh.
What was the date, Andy?
June 7, 1972, 6 a.m. I wrote it down, buddy.
No wonder you're such a weirdo. June 7th, you're a Gemini, Andy, and all this time I thought you were an Aquarius. You should do an astroscope on it, because it really makes you a lot more sensitive. You have Venus and Mars in Cancer now, and your Venus, your Mars is square Neptune in Libra. You have a Neptune trine Saturn, which is very powerful for psychic power, and then gives you an Aries moon, which is your high energy, as we know. Mercury in Gemini is your computer mind, and Mercury in Gemini on that date is 20 Gemini, exactly trine my 20 Libra rising, so there's our karmic connection.
Oh.
And you have Jupiter in Capricorn, so your career probably took off after that point. And
yeah.
It's a very interesting chart. You should do an astroscope on it, okay?
Yeah, well, that sounds like sex. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, now, Andy, I'm going to get back to my show. I got a lot of people waiting to talk to me, okay?
Take care, buddy.
Bye. That's Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, Wednesday at 10:30 on KFOX, and one of my closest friends. Let's go to David now. Another Aquarius with Libra rising. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Farley?
Real good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'd like that general scan with emphasis on finances.
Do you know what degree your Libra rising is, Dave?
15.
Farah, it's right on my Mars, dude. That's cool. That's a nice rising sign. That's very rare, 15 Libra, I'll tell you that. And your money situation looks like you should have had a couple of surges here lately. Anything?
Things are going up and down.
Really? When you get it, it burns a hole in your pocket quick, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know how to spend. Maybe you should learn how to save, dude. You are showing more money than you've ever made in your life this year, and it is the best year of your life to go into business. But because you're having a Saturn return, there's a lot of lessons concerning money and women and some of these big expenses you create when you do some celebrating, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay, thanks, guy.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Melendi on line one, a Halloween baby with Virgo rising. Hi.
Hi. In the last few years, lots of things have been pushing me to make a drastic change, and I'm very, very scared of doing it. I've gone back and forth and back and forth, and I think I'm going to have to make a commitment to a big change, and I want to know when the best time to do it.
Hmm. Well, you got a pen?
Yes.
Okay, I think one of the better times to do a change would be when Jupiter is trine your Venus in Virgo. I'm not going to make any guarantees. Actually, the way the planets are now, with some of these trines that are going on, almost any day is a good day to make changes because there's no moon wobble and Mercury's not retrograde. But, you know, if I was going to make a change to try to make one of the better changes, I would say right around D-Day, June 4th, 5th, or 6th, that area. And with emphasis on probably the 6th in the morning.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to Jane now. Jane's back, Leo Virgo rising. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
There's the whale-watching lady.
Yes, and I'm sending out the pictures today.
All right. Did they come out okay?
They came out fantastic.
The whales, huh?
Yeah.
And that one whale was a Pisces, too.
Was he?
I'm just kidding. What can we do for you, hon?
Well, I really liked your topic today. And I was wondering where my north node is on my chart as far as what you could tell me.
You have your astroscope in front of you?
Yep.
In the bottom of the page, there's a section called abbreviations.
Yeah.
And you'll see it says NO equal node.
Yeah.
The NO is the north node. The south node, you can write in yourself. It's exactly opposite the north node.
Yeah. So my north node is in 17 Gemini.
In what house?
In, let's see. I guess it would be the 10th house.
Right. So your purpose in life or part of your karmic fulfillment in this life cycle would be success, psychological balance and stability along those lines, and positive, stable communications in career. Okay. And basically having fun and keeping some variety and helping people, reaching out.
Well, right now I'm in stress. Is there, do you see anything in my chart?
Right. That's not a very good affirmation, Jay. Why don't you try saying, like, right now I'm in the pudding and it tastes great.
In the middle of something, a period.
Yeah. But too much Virgo, I think. Venus and Mars and Virgo, you're worrying too much about everything.
Yeah.
I think you're taking this dimension too personal. It's time to let go of a lot of stuff. You're at the tail end of your midlife transit, your Pluto square Pluto, and there's an ego thing. There's an ego transition going on that you're probably being asked to let go of.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Crystal now on line 8, a Cancer with Virgo rising. Hi.
Hello, Farley.
Yo.
How are you?
Hey, yo, good.
I was wondering about my career.
What do you do?
Can you tell me anything about it?
Another Virgo rising wondering about work. What do you do?
Right now I'm a bookkeeper. And I really don't like my job.
That sounds pretty boring to
me. I don't like it, and I want to change, and I'm wondering if this is a good time to make the move or what.
Well, gosh, I'm so sad when people tell me they do things like that. It's like, oh, my God, a lifetime of numbers. Well, I would think that you would probably be somebody that would be excellent in the New Age area. You have a counselor's chart. I think that just a big part of your karma is... I think you're frightened to metamorphosize. You're afraid of what the unknown will have for you there. See, for your chart, you have to take some chances here, and I don't think you want to do that. You have a Venus trine Neptune, which is beautiful for psychic awareness, healing, counseling, psychology, astrology. So you might want to consider some of those alternatives. Also, you have a great chart for business management and marketing and such. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, it's that time again. Yeah. And please support this radio show. So, okay, everybody, have a great day. We'll see you real soon, weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM. Have a nice day. Bye.